So this morning, we continue on our series of what is the church, and that the church is one body with many parts. And so we looked at that from 1 Corinthians 12 last week. And so this series, this is the second week of five that we're going to be looking at the church. How did God design it? And how are we to function as God's people? So this week, we're going to be at the first part of 1 Corinthians 12, the first 11 verses, as we look at and think about how the Spirit empowers His church and gifts His church the individuals making up that one body. So just as we've been doing the last many weeks, knowing that this is the Word of God for us, if you would, if you're willing and able, would you stand just out of reverence for God's Word as we hear from it and submit ourselves to it. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 1, Paul writes, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, 'Jesus is accursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills." Let's pray. God, would You be in our midst, and would You be the one that speaks to us? Father, thank You for Your Spirit, that He is living, He is active, He is in our midst, He empowers us, He even gifts us in certain ways, that You would build and empower Your church. Father, that You would be the one who is glorified. Father, hear us, or help us to hear that You have called each one of us to truly function as a part of Your body if we are in Christ. And so, Father, empower us in that, encourage us in that. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. If you would, please be seated. Apartheid. It was a system of institutionalized racial segregation in South Africa. It was put into law in 1948, and it was the law of the land from that time forward for 43 years after that point, until the early 90s. Apartheid, meaning separateness. It classified all South Africans into four racial groups based on appearance, known ancestry, socioeconomic status, and cultural lifestyle. Those groups were black, white, colored, and Indian. Places of residence were even determined based on what racial classification you fell into. In a few years after that came into law, from 1960 to 1983, during those 30-some years, 3.5 million non-white South Africans were removed from their homes and forced to live in segregated neighborhoods and called tribal homelands. It was one of the largest mass removals of people from their home in modern history. It was also intended to restrict the black population to these homelands, and government, when they relocated them, they even revoked their South African citizenship to then give it to these places of these new tribal lands. And so amid this horrible treatment interestingly, not minorities, this was the majority group oppressed by a minority white population. Amid all of this, these protests and even a violent uprising to overthrow the unjust system, Nelson Mandela was put in prison. Nelson Mandela was one that was fighting against this system, fighting for the recognition of all people as valuable, as all people as equal under God. And Mandela was put in prison. He spent the next 27 years in prison for his opposition to this system of institutionalized racism. But as domestic and international pressures rose in the 80s, early 90s, and for fear of civil war, the governor at that time, actually released Mandela from prison. He released him in 1990. And then Mandela negotiated the end of apartheid a year later and was elected president of South Africa 3 years later. Mandela said this in the late 90s. He spoke on unity in diversity. So you could imagine 43 years of institutionalized racial segregation. You could imagine the divisions and the walls that are in this society. And this is what he spoke. He said, "Unity in diversity is a phrase that we often use in South Africa, which is also a country of widely diverse peoples and cultures. And these differences were misused by apartheid in order to divide our nation. But today, our diversity is a source of strength. We are a nation of many colors and many cultures, but forming a harmonious unity like a rainbow after a heavy storm." We look at that. He went on to win the Nobel Peace Prize for his opposition to this system and bringing about great unity in South Africa. We look at that, but this idea of unity in diversity, that sounds great on paper, until we start to try to live it out. And when it seems like that the human heart seems to want to divide against anything that's different, it's not only, though, the motto of South Africa, it is also the way that God designed his church, unity in diversity. God did not design his church to look the same. Now, there's one aspect that if you look around, that we lack in diversity. And I pray that God would bring very diverse people to be a part of our church. But it's not just cultural. It's not even just ethnic. God has brought diversity in the gifts, in the abilities, in the way that people, the way that he has empowered and gifted them. And so this idea of spiritual gifts, spiritual meaning of the work of the Spirit, gifts, the things that he has given uniquely to individuals in his church that maybe others don't have. And so when we see that, Paul is talking about this in terms that it is evidence of the living God. Did you catch that in verse 2? He's almost mocking or kind of like, you know, poking fun at these people. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, basically idols that can't speak. However, you were led. Basically, you were led astray by things that could not speak and were not living. They were mute. They were inanimate. How could you be led astray by something that's not alive and doesn't speak is kind of where Paul's going. That his point is not to dwell on the idols of their former life. The point is to contrast the mute nature of those idols, the fact that they are not living, against the living God. That God is not mute. He is alive and active. That's why it says in verse 3 that no one speaking in the Spirit says Jesus is accursed, because it is the Spirit who is alive and active among his people. But also, no one can say that Jesus is Lord and really mean it by faith unless you are in the Spirit. So it is the Spirit, not that he's just a powerful God or idol that's just sitting up on a shelf. He is active. He is alive. He is in our midst, and he is moving. The Spirit is at work. He keeps us from certain things and even enables us to speak certain professions of faith. Since he is living and active, he gives gifts to his people. And so anything good, anything that we have is good, is any gift that we feel like we bring to the table is evidence of the work of the Spirit of God. It is his work in us. Even that profession where we say Jesus is Lord is the Spirit's work in us. Did you catch that one phrase? We repeat it a lot, that it's his breath in our lungs. It's not our idea, wow, Jesus is Lord, let me speak it. It's he puts it in us and we reflect it back to him. And so it's the work of the Spirit of God in us. And so look at verse 7. If you have your Bible, look there. If you don't have your Bible, look at the front of your bulletin. It's printed there for you. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That spiritual gifts are the display of the Spirit. That word manifestation is when something appears, when something shows up. You could even say when something shines, when something is displayed, made clear, it is shown, it becomes visible. So think about all of that, that in the gifts that God gives to his people through his Spirit, the Spirit is displayed as we use them. The Holy Spirit appears in the gifts that he gives each one of us. We reveal, we make him known, we allow him to shine as we function in the gifting that he's given to us. And what's really interesting is not that he just gives it to us. Verse 6 and verse 11, we are empowered by the Spirit to use the very gifts that he gives us. Verse 6, there's a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Look at verse 11. All these things are empowered by the one and the same Spirit. So in order to have any of the gifts of the Spirit, it's not that he's just floating around, just tossing them onto people. You have to know Christ because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. And so he is making effectual, he's bringing the work of Jesus and bringing that and sealing it to his people. And so for us to have any of these gifts we're talking about, you have to know Jesus because the Spirit always reveals Jesus. And so to have any kind of gifts, you have to know Jesus first so that the Spirit would then apply the gift to his people. So if you've not professed faith in Christ, I don't want you to be feeling like, oh, this isn't for you. But this is more something that is not true for you today, but it is definitely something that awaits you if you come to know Christ. Salvation is by grace alone, meaning that there's nothing you and I can do to be right in the eyes of God. Absolutely nothing. You being here this morning gains you no points in that equation. It's not that you come to church and I was a regular perfect attender for 20 years and God must be pleased with me. That's not how salvation works. Salvation is by grace alone received by faith. It is God who saves, knowing that we rebel against him, that we're broken, and that's why salvation cannot be by us. It cannot be by our works. It can only be according to his grace. And that's why the gospel is good news. Because if you think about your record in comparison to a holy God, and if you're decent at math at all, you're going to say, I cannot save myself. And the gospel is good news because it's by grace. And so when Paul comments on spiritual gifts in Romans chapter 12, so it's 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, our two main passages, he says this in verse 6, that the people having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. So we are not simply saved by grace. Any gift that you have is the grace of God. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. God gave it to you sheerly out of his grace. So Romans 12, that's Romans 12, 6. Go back three verses to Romans 12, 3. Paul says this, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Because think about it. If everything good we have is by grace, what does that do? It automatically humbles every one of us who are in Christ because nothing good that we have is from us. And so take a step back. And so when we think about the gifts that God gives his people, if pride ever associates your expression of the Spirit's gifts, or even in your thoughts, you feel prideful about the gifts that you possess, I want to remind you, that is nowhere near how it's designed to be. You did not earn that gift. You did not go after that gift. It was given to you by sheer grace from the Holy Spirit. We have to know we're taking God's grace to us and then taking credit for it. And that's not how it's supposed to work. We take the grace given to us and we reflect his glory and not our own. And so there's this sense where that the Spirit's gifts are evidence of the living God. He is at work, he is in our midst, and he can be seen through it. But then we see the idea of how does this play out is that we see unity in diversity. So the way in which the Spirit arranges the body, which is an analogy for his church, his people, each person is given a different manifestation, a different display of the Spirit. That's the diversity piece. But it is the one God who gives them. That's the unity. So we look at the one God, and we see in verse 4, verse 4 through 6, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. Varieties of activities, but the same God. So yes, there's varieties of things, but there is one God who brings all of them about. So in verse 4, the same Spirit. Verse 5, the same Lord. Verse 6, the same God. Verse 8, the same Spirit. Verse 9, one Spirit. Verse 11, one and the same Spirit. Okay, not going to ask a hard question here, but what do you think Paul's point is about who brings about the gifts for his people? It is the singular God in three persons bringing about the gifts for God's people. We might look different. We might act different. We might be good at different things. But Paul is saying it does not matter because it is one and the same God who brings all of those things. So the unity we have is not because we look the same. The unity we have is because we are united to the same God. One in the same God. He brings about tons of diversity in his people. As verse 11 would say, he apportions to each one individually as he, God, the Spirit, wills. So how does anyone of God's people possess a spiritual gift? Okay, we've said it a couple times, but what does verse 8 say? For to one is given through the Spirit. Verse 11, that all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit. It is he that apportions to each one individually. It is given, it is distributed, it is apportioned, it is arranged by the Spirit of God. Given, distributed by the living God as he wills according to his purpose and his plan. Now think about this, okay? Let's think of the negative. You're not good at everything. Neither am I. And God purposely made it that way. But then you're really gifted at certain things, and God purposely made it that way. That it's the Spirit is giving certain gifts to certain people and purposely not giving gifts to other people. That is a fascinating thought if you think about it. Because when we say that these are the manifestation or the display of the Spirit of God, you cannot know the Spirit of God by yourself. It's the way God made his people. That if it is, like we talked about last week, if it's just Jesus and you, guess what? You only know the things that the Spirit has gifted you or at work in you. You are missing so many facets of who he is that are displayed in God's people. So there is one God, but there's also a variety of gifts. A variety of gifts, a variety of service, a variety of activities. What are some of those? So verses 8 to 10, I've read them, but I'll just summarize and you can kind of follow along. There's gifts of wisdom, kind of applying God's word and bringing insight to that. There's gifts of knowledge, the ability to know God and his word. And in these spiritual gifts, it's not like only certain people have knowledge of God. It's the fact that everybody has a baseline, but then some people have a super abundance of knowledge, an ability to digest God's word and to know it. The idea of faith, okay? My youth pastor had the gift of faith, okay? This guy was a nut, okay? And, you know, my mom's laughing because she knows. I'm all calculated and I'm paralysis by analysis and he's just running. And so he had the gift of faith, the willingness to trust God and go into any circumstance that he felt the Spirit leading him. And it was unbelievable. And God honored over and over him speaking the word of who Jesus is, drawing people to faith, entering into a situation that he should not be entering into. But yet God, used that, the gift of faith, the gift of discernment, which is knowing or discerning between, it's actually phrased here, the ability to distinguish between spirits, basically knowing what's really going on. Okay, certain people in this room, you don't even have to talk to them. They just kind of walk around and look, and they know what's happening in this room. That's a gift, and it's called discernment. Because you can see and understand things that oftentimes other people are missing. You understand what's good, what's evil, what's of God, what's not. Healing, miracles, prophecy, tongues, / interpretation. You don't have one without the other. Just a quick word on that, on tongues and prophecy. That these gifts are what they call sign gifts. Basically, the signs of what God is doing that are foundational to make his word known. So the sign is revealing the word of God and actually confirming it in what is happening. And so you saw these signs in the early church amongst God revealing himself in his word. You might say, well, it seems like those gifts are ceased today. Tongues, healing, miracles. And I would say, largely, except for the outside of the norm way of the Spirit, yes, I would say they've ceased. Because the word of God does not need to be confirmed by a sign or a miracle anymore. It is given to us. Besides, biblical tongues is where people that don't know a known language start to speak a known language so that other hearers who know that language can understand the word of God. And even that there's an interpreter who might not know the language that can interpret. It is a way that God reveals himself through his word. It is not an unintelligible prayer language. And if you look at the scriptures, it seems to bear that out. Going down in verse 28, it says that some other gifts, helping, administration. So people that are great at laying out, like, this is where we need to go, and these are the 18 ways that we need to take steps to get there, and the rest of us go, man, I couldn't even get the first step going. Those people are gifted at administration. And if you are in the Spirit, then it is a gift from God. Back over in Romans 12, and I'll look at verses 6 through 8. I'll actually read it to you because it's going to help us understand some things. Paul says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. So the Spirit didn't give you gifts for your own benefit, basically. Use them. If prophecy, in proportion with our faith. If in service, in serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. So there's prophecy, there's service, there's teaching, there's exhortation, which is actually the same root word of the Holy Spirit, paraclete, which is the one who comes alongside other people. And if you've had a friend come alongside with you, you understand who has this gift. And these people are in a healing balm for God's people to encourage and build God's people up. Giving is actually a spiritual gift, like kind of the overabundance and the super, the way in which it, in which we give. Leadership and mercy. Now, I just ran through those in a very, very fast fashion. I want to welcome you into a discovery of how has the Spirit gifted you. Now, some of that's going to come up. I really enjoy certain things because the Spirit probably aligns your desires and your gifts, or you like it because you're good at it. So I welcome us into the discovery process. Maybe it's evangelism. Maybe it's shepherding. Maybe it's hospitality. We all have different gifts, and you don't have them all, and neither do I, and that's for your good and mine. So today in Sunday school, I want to make sure and welcome you back here into this room. And we're going to look at children's ministry. And you're like, hey, I don't have anybody in elementary school. I'm out. We can get to lunch. Today is what we're going to do about three times every year. We're going to do a ministry focus. We'll do this one first. And the purpose of this is that we can know and celebrate what the other parts of the body are doing. Most people don't know all the facets of the body and what's going on. That's one way. But also, say a family moves next door to you and they have young kids. I would hope you could answer what we do in our children's ministry and how we desire families to pursue God together. And then as you hear that, even if you don't have young kids, there's going to be a call for us to pursue God in his word together as families that comes out of and is being led by our children's ministry, but it is not merely for kids fifth grade and under. It's for every one of us, regardless if you have children in your home. So I welcome you back for that as we celebrate what God's doing. So the question I have for you is, what gifts has the Spirit given to you? Now, you might say, you know what, I have no idea. Here's an online spiritual gifts test. It's an inventory. This is not the Spirit. But it's a way just to get you started in this conversation of what might the Spirit have gifted me in? What do I see? Spiritualgiftstest.com. Okay, if you've done the old version back like 20 years ago when you had to like check boxes and do a bunch of math, this one does it for you. And so you just, online. And there's an adult version for parents and people probably college and older. And then there's also a youth version that might match up better for where you are. So it's interesting, if God's going to uniquely gift his people, 1 Corinthians 12 asks a bunch of rhetorical questions, verses 29 to 30. We didn't read it earlier, but verses 29 to 30, Paul's asking a bunch of questions. And the answer to all of them is no. Now, that's implied in the Greek. We don't have a way to set up an answer, but it's pretty obvious. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. Do all possess gifts of healing? No. Do all speak in tongues? No. That's why it can't be the filling of the Spirit. Do all interpret? No. What is Paul saying? You are not everything. And that is for your good. And that we are a diverse people. And we tend to struggle with diversity, don't we? And so there's a couple ways that we interact with diversity as it pertains to gifting. The first kind we talked a little bit about last week, it's the I have nothing to offer struggle. I'm kind of worthless and useless to the people of God. Now, you might not use those words. That's pretty staggering commentary. But you say, I have nothing to give. And that is a comment on the work of the Spirit of God in you. The Spirit of God gives gifts to his people. And so I welcome you to discover your unique gifting in the Spirit. Or you might be on the other side, that you really don't want to be around people. And you might be one that has gifts that are needed in the body, and you're hoarding them. Or you're missing out on the varied gifts that are around you. So let's do it this way. Have you ever found yourself angry at people in the church when they don't function in the way that you're gifted? Okay, this is one of those studies that I've been kind of watching for like 20, 25 years, just being around church. And it shows up, it's interesting to see with the gift of mercy. Okay, the gift of mercy. People that will go out of their way for people that are down and out, broken, hurting, and all of that. But what I've seen, and so this heart of mercy wells up in these people because it's a gift by the Spirit. But I also have seen that people with the gift of mercy, and now you can apply this to any gift, the gift of mercy are easily angered when other people are not merciful too. But here's the trick. They have been uniquely gifted. Now I'm saying they because it's not my gift. They are uniquely gifted in seeing needs and meeting needs. And I would say flourish in the gifting of the Spirit. But when other people don't value what we value, don't do what we do, there's this sense where then we become angered. If you're hospitable and you have people over and then all of a sudden you're like, nobody ever asks you over, you're saying, why isn't anybody else hospitable around here? Well, because maybe God has gifted you uniquely in a certain way for the movement of his people. And so if we asked if there's pride ever showing up in your gifts, you might need to reevaluate how God is working in your heart. But also if there's anger showing up in relationship to those gifts, we've got to understand that God has uniquely equipped you. And he may not have equipped anybody else in our midst for what you're gifted at. I would say flourish in it and follow the Lord, because the work of the Spirit is for the good of his church. Verse 7, these are the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The root word of common good is the gathering together of God's people. And so that tied with the understanding of something for our benefit is this, for our own advantage together. A commonality of good and benefit for each other. The Spirit gives to each. And I love those words in Romans 12 when we looked back there. How are you supposed to do it? Is it out of just sheer obligation and you're going to grin and bear it and you're going to be a good soldier? The words that I heard in Romans 12 were by faith, give generously, lead with zeal, and do these things cheerfully. So there's a manner in which we are actually following the Spirit as we use the gifts of the Spirit. It's not simply just robotically using gifts. It is using them in such a way that God is glorified. And Peter kind of touches on this in 1 Peter 4, and we'll close with this. 1 Peter 4:10, he says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. He talks about some of the gifts, God's varied grace, in order that in everything God might be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is not about me and you. This is about our God being glorified and him building his church through the Spirit uniquely gifting and equipping each of us. That's a fascinating picture, that you have gifts that others don't, and you don't have gifts that others do. God is calling us together for his common good so that he might be displayed in our midst. It is the manifestation and the display of the Spirit of God. I welcome you to function and pursue how has God gifted you uniquely. Let's pray. Jesus, would you take these words? Father, thank you that you are not just a God who is outside of our experience. You are very much in our midst. You are at work. You are gifting and equipping and empowering and giving us cheerfulness and zeal, Father, and even faith to express these things. God, I pray that the story of grace of our salvation would be the story of grace and the way that we live as your people. And Father, anything good we have, any ability we have, is from your hand. So Father, help us in that then to reflect your glory to each other, and reflect your glory to a watching world. Father, would you reveal yourself by your Spirit? And thank you, God, that you've equipped us. Father, help us to function in the unique way that you've called us to. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.